Pray on. Good morning, church. If you don't know me, I'm Albert Bloom. I'm usually up there messing the slideshows up is what I'm usually doing. And I question the church's understanding of asking me to preach with all my experience that I have. But no, seriously, good morning, and good morning to Holland. I got a lady listening. Technology is great. The introduction, how to treat the church family, we're going to be going through 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 16. I would encourage you to go and follow me along in this so that you see that it's God's words, not mine. I will be reading from the ESV translation. So if you bow your heads and just take a minute and go to the Lord in prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for all that you have done for us. I pray that our service will bring honor and glory to you. God, I pray that this message I bring today is well received. God, please soften our hearts and open our minds to fully understand this message and to live it out by being the hands and feet of Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, church, 1 Timothy is a letter from Paul to Timothy. It was wrote in approximately 62 A.D. Now, this meant that Paul had spent 30 years of labor for the gospel. He had been beaten constantly and bore the marks of Jesus. That's how much this man loved the church, and he could not stop. Now, at this time, Paul was underneath house arrest in Rome for 2 years. During this, he was concerned about Timothy, who was the pastor of the church at Ephesus. Now, Timothy is a faithful co-laborer. And the pastor of the church. Timothy was special to Paul. And if you look at it this way, Timothy had a Jewish mother, so he knew the Jewish customs and their language. His father was Greek. So in that respect, he probably knew that language also and their customs. So he could really get to these people and get on their level so that they could understand. Now, this letter is come to be a legacy for the church, for us, because it means just as much today as it did back then. Now, 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2 is a summary of how to treat all people in the church. And 1 Timothy 5, 1 says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father, younger men as brothers." Now, the first part of that verse, "Do not rebuke an older man." Now, Paul was directing Timothy that older men were not to be rebuked unless it was absolutely necessary. He was a young pastor, but he still had to shepherd them faithfully. So, with that being said, you know, that was due to the respect for the years and presumed wisdom of the older man. Now, take me for instance. Not all older men are wise. And the reason I say that is I wasn't saved until I was 35 years old. Now, after I got saved, I would go to church on Sundays. I would attend church on Sundays when it was convenient for me, because I was still hunting and fishing on the day that I should have been in church. So fast forward to 2020. I've been brought out of a 5-year depression, medical issues, and many others that I won't name at this time. If you want to know my testimony, I will tell it to you. Now, at 47, our God lifted the veil from over my eyes so that I could see. And he simply said, "Follow me." I fought that. I fought it for a long time. I knew he was calling me to preach, but I fought it. And boy, what a ride I am on, because he won. Now, the next part of the verse says, "But encourage him as you would a father." Now, encouraging him, you know, needs to be done, but in a manner of like a coach or a trainer encouraging an athlete to do their best. It also, the next part of the verse says, young men as brothers. Now this takes me back to when my older brothers, which one of them is here this morning, would tell me, don't mess up, don't do this, don't be like us. Well, did it work? Sometimes. Mainly I had to go through the College of Hard Knocks. And isn't it amazing, church, that have you ever noticed how the older you get, the wiser your parents become? Amen. But now, just remember, Galatians 6:1, if you must rebuke somebody, says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Church, don't ever put me or anybody up on a pedestal. We will fail you. We are weak in the flesh, but you must always know to run back to the Father's arms. They're open all the time. Now, 1 Timothy 5:2 says, older men and older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. Now, the first part of the verse, older women as mothers. Young pastors like Timothy must afford these women with the respect that they deserve. And he also had to expect and appreciate these women giving motherly attention to him, because that's just natural for them, you know, when they have a younger preacher. Now, the next part, it says younger women as sisters in all purity. Any godly man should ensure never to be flirtatious with any woman except for his wife. I would give the advice to men that you should never meet with a woman that's not your wife, and 'cause it protects both her and him from any rumors that will go around or anything. And just like me, being a married man. Now, if I needed to counsel a young lady, you know, I would set up a time with her, and I would like to bring my wife into it so that there is no judgment or rumor started. Just simply have, you know, another woman present while you're counseling them. Now, 1 Timothy 5:3, the general principle, help the needy who are truly in need. Now, the first part says honor widows. The meaning of the word honor in this context is to support or sustain. Now, back in the New Testament days, they didn't have Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security like we do nowadays. So, now fast forward to 2021. The church is still accountable. If all these government entities fall short of taking care of that widow that has nobody to take care of her, the church is still must abide by that. It was commanded in 62 AD and still relevant to today. That is not me saying it. That's God's word that says it. And the next part, it says, who are truly widows? This simply means that there is no family or anybody who will take care of them. It happens a lot. Now, 1 Timothy 5:4 through 6 is how to tell those who are really widows. 1 Timothy 5:4 reads, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing to God. Excuse me. My voice is getting a little hoarse. Now, too many times we see widows just put in a nursing home. because it is not convenient for their family to be burdened with the task of taking care of them. Now, widows should be taken care of by their family so that the church, not burdened by them, so that the church can attend to women who are truly left alone in the world. Now, when you come into this world, a mother had to change your diapers, feed you, clothe you, etc. They didn't do this only when it was convenient for them. They did it all the time. Now, who is going to do a better job of taking care of your mother? Is it somebody making minimum wage or a loving family member that's going to cherish them and take care of them? I know this might sting a little, church, but it's biblical. Bo Hughes at the village church wanted to understand all the different cultures. So he would get all the cultures, African-American, Mexican, Asian, all that. He asked a Mexican, he said, "What screams white to you?" He thought about it and he looked and he said, "Nursing homes. We don't have those." That's the culture, the culture back then, and now our culture is changing a little bit. Now, 1 Timothy 5:5, "She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers, night and day." Now, in her spiritual maturity, she latches on to God. She knows He is the true provider. Now, whoever is given assistance by the church is expected to provide to the church. And it may be clerical. It may be to clean, to teach. But if nothing else, if that's too strenuous, then simply her job would be to pray for the church constantly with supplication. Here in this context is a noun. It comes from the Latin verb supplicare, which means simply to plead humbly. It is used 60 times in the Bible. When something is used that much and repeated, you better pay attention because it's important. Now, 1 Timothy 5:6 reads, "But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives." If she's not living a godly life, is it acceptable to not provide for her? The answer is yes. They cannot live life for mere pleasure. Stay with me on this, church. So many times today, we see more and more women getting addicted to different things, losing everything that they have. They come to the church for help. It's legitimate for us to say no. However, the church should help her find a Christian treatment center that will help her deal with her problems. Now, on the other hand, now, could she be added back to the roles? Absolutely. If she repents and turns back to God, absolutely. You all know how much grace God pours out. Matthew 18, 21 and 22 says, "Then Peter came up and said to him, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. I don't know about you. I'm thankful God didn't put a number on me.'" 1 Timothy 5, 7 through 8 is where provision should come from. Now, 1 Timothy 5, 7 reads, "Command these things as well, so that they may not be without reproach. I am commanded as a pastor to teach these things so that you will all know what God expects." 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring line, seeking someone to devour. No, by the way, there's no need for him to sleep. He does not tire. When God breathed out Scripture, it wasn't just relevant then. It's the living Word of God. It's relevant now. Now, 1 Timothy 5:8 reads, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Now, in the biblical days, their custom and culture were loyalty, duty, and respect to their family. Now, the further along we come, the less and less that happens. Now, I can remember when my great-grandma and grandpa Ramick, they were the patriarchs of the family. We would always go to their house. And there would be anywhere from 60 to 100 people at that gathering. And there would be 20 pies or more, and they were all homemade. I love that. Now, they had 7 kids. And when they couldn't live by themselves, those 7 kids took a turn once a week. They'd never seen the inside of a nursing home. Now, church, that's love. Now, in today's time, it saddens me because I go to our family reunions and I see only 25 to 30 people. And it's just getting littler and littler, and it saddens me. And what that is, church, that's the devil winning. That's him tearing apart the nuclear family. Now, 1 Timothy 5:9 and 10 is about helping older women, older widows. 1 Timothy 5:9 reads, "Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband." Now, the first part of this verse is simply saying that a woman could, in most circumstances, provide for herself or get remarried if she was younger than 60. Now, in our culture in America, women can work in so many ways that they did not have in AD 62. However, the church is still liable to this day and age to true widows. Again, it is repeated. If they meet the criteria and are found to be living a godly life. Now, 1 Timothy 5:10 says, "And having a reputation for good works, if she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, and has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work." Now, the first part of that is having a good reputation for good works. Just simply, you know, she must be of a godly character. Now, the next part is if she has brought up children. Now, Paul possibly also stating not only her children, but abandoned children. That was a problem in the ancient world, and it's still a problem today. Now, unfortunately, I think it may be a little less today, but our government has decided that it is okay to murder millions and millions of God's children. Today, our culture is shifting to it being the norm to abort babies. Has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work. Jesus came to earth to live a perfect life without sin and to serve us. Our King washed the feet of the disciples. I just want you to reflect on somebody's feet walking through the nasty towns in the dirt in sandals. That is what Jesus did. He cleaned their feet. I'm sorry, I lost my spot. Now, church, we're to emulate, but emulate Jesus in our day-to-day life. We're not perfect. He knows our shortfalls. He is always there with open arms to receive you. Church, the showing of hospitality, washing of feet, care for the afflicted, and good works, that is what Jesus did. We are to emulate Jesus. Now, 1 Timothy 5:11-15, helping younger widows. 1 Timothy 5:11 says, "But refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their possessions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry." Now, the first part says, "But refuse to enroll younger widows." Back in the ancient days, women were not educated like the women of today are. It is not godly for widows to stay idle. That is, when the devil gets a hold of them and can deceive them. He is there to steal, kill, and destroy. "For when their passions draw them away from Christ." Now, a woman has known what it is like. She is yearning to be with a man, which separates her from Christ. Again, our culture has a shift in morality. It is norm for a couple to live together just to see if they're compatible. And we all probably know one of those couples. And we just need to get across to them about what it is to be a godly couple. Now, they desire to marry. Our young godly women and young widows are finding themselves desiring to marry so bad that they don't wait for the godly man that God is going to provide. So they settle possibly for a non-believer. They think they can change him. Paul warned about this back in his times, and it's still relevant in today's world, if not more, due to losing more and more of our morals. Due to this generation that does not need God or will not yield to God, I plead with you, do not settle for a boy that can shave, that is, a non-believer. Sorry. When you look at someone, young ladies, put it in perspective by asking the question, how will he lead me and my children spiritually? Statistically, you're going down a road that God would not have you go down. 1 Timothy 5:12 says, "And so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith." Paul was not condemning women for wanting to get married, just that statistically he was seeing them not conduct themselves in a godly way. How many nowadays are having premarital sex? How about 95%, 9 out of 10, to include the ones who abstained during their teenage years? Now, 1 Timothy 5:13 says, "Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not." Simple things like they would say, "Did you know about Cindy down the street? Look, I am not supposed to say anything, but this is what's going on. Can I stay here for a while till I get on my feet? I promise I will help and do my part. My brother would kill me if he knew that I was telling you this, but I could go on and on, ladies and gentlemen. TV shows, they make billions upon billions that indoctrinate everyone that the more they can get the spotlight off themselves, the easier it is to destroy someone else. They make it right in their head, saying, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Now, 1 Timothy 5:14, so I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. It is honorable for a widow to mourn the loss of her husband for a time. Now, she should go searching when she's ready for a godly husband in the proper way. I don't think going through social media at all is a way to go. There's a lot of guys out there that can look like he's a perfect man, and they hide the stuff that he does not want you to see. Now, it's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and the devil's out there given a chance to deceive you. He is always prowling, just looking for that opportunity, ladies. 1 Timothy 5:15, for some have already strayed after Satan. Ladies, if you have fallen into this trap, back up. Turn towards Christ and repent. He's waiting with open arms. Now, mothers, fathers, be diligent towards your children. And what I mean by that, get their phones, their computers, check their Facebook, TikTok, Tubler, as many others that you should know as Twitter, Snapchat, just to name a few. Demand to see their accounts. Look at their profiles and messages. They will get angry, but you just might save their life. You might keep them from getting kidnapped by a pedophile or being sex trafficked. It happens in towns, folks, that you would think it would never happen. It happens constantly. 1 Timothy 5:16, family responsibility. 5:16 reads, if any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened, so that it may care for those who are truly widows. If there is a widow who is in need, let their families attend to them. This is repeated in this section. So this must be a very strong point. That is being stressed. The church has only so much at their disposal. And they also have to try to catch the con artists that are trying to get the help just so they don't have to work. Now, in conclusion, church, we all must adhere to Paul's letter. This is God's word. He's just having Paul write it out as instructions to Timothy. The Bible, church, is our instruction book. This right here. This will tell you everything that you need to know. The answer is in here. God's truth, not the adversary's. And if we would, just bow our heads. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for each and every person that is in here, God. And I just pray for every person that is watching this online or listening to it, Father. God, I pray that you'll just love them, care for them. And God, I pray that they would just make the decision to love you, Father. And it's in Jesus' precious and holy name I pray. Amen.